Welcome to Pipeline Meeting, where marketers come to talk about sales. I'm your host, Harris Kenny, and I'll be joined by a guest every Monday and Wednesday for brief 15-minute interviews where we'll share tips that you can apply to support your sales team and help them close more deals. If you don't have time to listen to this whole episode, you can skip ahead in the show notes in your podcast player or find the transcript at introcrm.com/podcast. All the episodes are published there.
I joined UserGems employee number 15 in January. We're 60-ish right now. I am heavy in paid media. So I have an agency background, lots of combination of e-com, lead gen, B2B, B2C, really wide range, but main focus is paid media. So came in, we didn't have a paid media program running when I came in. UserGems was really heavy on content, luckily. Thank goodness. I think that's every marketer's dream, is to come into a team where content is primary, came first before any of the paid media. So already had a pipeline through SEO, through all that. So I was able to come in and have a lot of material for paid media. We do have an interesting approach to paid media as well. Obviously, we have like buyer journey. We have a lot with like Convo ads. We're heavy on LinkedIn. One of the main things though that's been really interesting is we use UserGems data. So we have two pieces of our product. One is contact tracking, which is job change tracking, tracking your champions' job movements so you can sell to them, automating that repeat business, not just popping out a list, but actually automating the process to reach out to them again and close the deal. The other piece of it is actually surfacing buying committee into your CRM. So you have this list of target accounts. We surface all your buyers based off of your definitions into your CRM. Obviously, that has some major, major benefits for the sales team. There's no research or anything manual on that side for prospecting. But on the marketing side, it allows us to do some really cool stuff with paid media. With campaigns that are open ops, we're surfacing all those buying committee at those companies that are open ops. We're able to multi-thread through paid media. If somebody opens up a deal with us, we're in the buying process, we're hitting sales buying committee, RevOps buying committee, marketing buying committee, all with ads, letting them know somebody on their team's talking with us and trying to pull them into the deal. It's been really interesting using it for that, kind of that post-demo request marketing for the sales team.
I want to understand where UserGems product sort of begins and ends here. So yeah. I'm on the receiving end, we've got a demo that came in, and let's just say I've got this one point of contact. I've got it in HubSpot or whatever. You're saying UserGems is helping with rounding out, enriching that profile in the CRM as well. So I, as the rep, don't need to go to Apollo or to LinkedIn or whatever and find people.
Yeah. So it just shows up in your CRM. It's already there. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So that's popping in. And then is there enrichment data? You don't need to tell me like down to the exact property, but is it like name, title, email?
It's name, title, email, LinkedIn profile, all the data that salesperson would need. It goes a step further as well too. Each piece of the product, job contact tracking and account tracking, both have their individual use cases, but it gets really cool when you can say, okay, we just surfaced all the buying committee at this company, but on top of that, one of your previous champions from Cisco or whatever is actually at this account now. They've already bought from you. Make sure to pull them into the deal. They've already been through the buying process. They've already bought from you, so you can accelerate that deal. It's really, really cool on the sales side.
And then from a paid media perspective, you, as just the person, Isaac, you have hooked up campaigns to run so that as those additional contacts come in, you're running those multi-threaded campaigns. I had a demo with the director, and now you're running paid ads on LinkedIn, for example, to up to the C-level people, maybe speaking at their level, explaining the importance of these tools, and then maybe to lateral departments. Yeah. That's all happening through paid, not fully automated, but mostly automated, it sounds like.
Yeah, fully automated. I don't have any touch points now that the campaigns are set up. There's a couple ways we use it too, for on the multi-threading side of things. So that op opens up. There's a lot of personas like director of marketing, director of RevOps, head of sales, things like that, that we want them to know where your team is talking with us about X. So they kind of have that in there. We've seen some awesome things too with that being screenshotted, sent in Slack. We always get wind of those later on, kind of that dark social area. That's really cool. Then we also use it on the multi-threading side of things where we want to keep it a little more anonymous with some titles. For example, CFOs are a huge blocker. We don't necessarily want them to say or want to tell them, hey, your team is talking with us, join this deal. We don't necessarily want to say that. So we have a separate campaigns for personas like that where we want to social proof it. We have a lot of testimonials or customer story videos around what CFOs are saying about UserGems. For instance, we offer ROI guarantee. really important going into 2023, having CFOs really focus on ROI. We want them to know that about user gems before it ever comes up internally, so we can kind of break down those sticking points with other personas before the conversation happens internally.
How does your sales team feel about this? I mean, I feel like a lot of sales teams would really appreciate this compared to what they're typically given, you know, which is like, hey, here's Sales Navigator. Good luck. By the way, here's your quota. And if you don't hit it, you're for sure fired. Like, I feel like the alignment between the two departments has got to be pretty good if you're doing all of this.
There's definitely some of that going on where we actually have hires on our team. So for instance, Kristen, our team, one of our AEs, super talented. She said when she found out about user gems, she was willing to pay like herself. We don't sell individual licenses. She's like, it would have been worth it to me at my other role just to pay for a company level subscription for myself, just because the ROI is so ridiculous. We have employees on the sales side that joined user gems because it's such a powerful tool for them as an individual salesperson. And on the marketing side too, there's things that I never would have attempted to launch without the sales marketing relationship, what user gems does for that. For instance, our ABM program, we build up to 300-350 one-to-one LinkedIn campaigns every single month. Every campaign is directed towards an individual company. Paid media side of things, that's doable. It's definitely a lot, but it's doable on that side of things. But the sales side of things gets really sticky, where it's like, okay, so now marketing says, hey, we have these 300 accounts we're targeting on paid media. We need ADRs, BDRs, whatever you want to call them. On this side, actually executing the email outreach, the calls, the LinkedIn outreach, all that good stuff on that side of things. In theory, it sounds fantastic, but then you get down to the nitty gritty of, okay, now these reps actually have to go do research for these 300 accounts. Odds of that happening and happening effectively are basically nil. So with user gems, what it does is marketing can launch that. Those buyer personas are already queued up, ready to go through all of their automated campaigns. So we don't have to worry about sales executing the ABM portion of those campaigns. So all of our paid media campaigns have sister campaigns on the sales side of things, and we never have to worry about the execution happening because of the automation. I'm kind of removing that manual piece from the sales team.
Where does this fit in the set of software that people are using these days?
Yeah, we are ourselves a HubSpot and Salesforce shop. We integrate really well with those. I think we use Workato to integrate with just about anything else. We have customers on Dynamics, anything like that. We're a smaller team, so we can integrate with a lot of stuff. We're pretty agile. So yeah, and direct integrations too with Outreach, Salesloft, one of our customers as well. So really good, tight integration with those. So all of those automated campaigns, you don't have to do all the manual action or anything to your outreach software, whatever that is. It just integrates directly and sends out those emails. Some of our customers use HubSpot Marketing as well for the email portion.
Yeah. Where's the friction come on? I mean, it sounds really good. Where do people hesitate?
One of the interesting ones for us is actually people saying, well, we could just do this manually. And it's really interesting because a lot of our customers currently are companies that told us that in the past. So they said, oh, we're just going to do this internally. We have this offshore team that's going to do this. And in practice, it sounds so easy just getting to the list portion. So generating a list of job changers. A lot of companies think, oh, we could do that manually, or we could have a team outsource to do it, things like that. So a lot of deals will get stuck on that piece where they say they can do it manually. They think they can. They go try to do it. And then they come back to us and be like, okay, that was a nightmare. Let's actually go through with this. And that's just the list portion, not even automating it to all the flows, pulling it into paid media, all that good stuff. On the post-close side of things, I would say one of the sticking points is people that don't want to integrate with a CRM. Some people want to do this purely through CSVs. Makes it tough on our side. We offer ROI guarantees. So it's like, we want to be able to say, this directly generated this, which generated X in revenue. So if you're running through CSVs, things like that, it can be hard to prove revenue, track all these deals, everything like that. So that's a tough portion. We're definitely getting away from that piece, making sure we're integrating with CRMs.
And you mentioned the ROI guarantee. What does that look like? Because I think a lot of companies struggle with the offer on something like this because it can feel a little abstract. How do you make that tangible to people?
User gems isn't like a platform that everybody has to learn. We have a dashboard though. And part of that dashboard is showing what the ROI is directly off of revenue. It is an abstract figure. A lot of marketing attribution is tough. And this is one of the few situations where we can say, these contacts did not exist in your CRM. We surfaced this job change. We executed the automated outreach to that person. This deal closed. That's revenue attributed to user gems. And if that ROI is not hit, it's a refund. You bring up a good point. I think we just had a CFO where they're like, okay, so we're ready to go, but our one sticking point is the ROI guarantee. Sounds way too good to be true. Like, there's no way. And it's like, well, I mean, we've been doing this for a long time. We have runway. This isn't something that we're just throwing out end of quarter. Like, we've been doing this from the start. It's something we're willing to back it. And it's that direct ROI attribution is tough with a lot of tools, but luckily we're able to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. What types of companies are finding success with this approach? I mean, obviously there's a lot of volatility right now in labor markets. And so you get a lot of people changing positions. It's probably creating a lot of opportunity. That I feel like that entropy is good for user gems in a sense. I mean, I'm not saying you're rooting for it, but the more changes are happening, the more value there is in tracking the changes, right?
I have a lot with other sales tools, cybersecurity, things like that, where it's tools where once you learn them, you're a part of that ecosystem. You don't want to leave that. Really helps on the repeat business, automating repeat business side of things. That's been huge for us. There's also some really cool use cases too. Now we're seeing some of these PLG motion companies coming in where they want to be able to track. They've used it as a free tool, but they want to track, okay, did this person use it as a free tool at a non-ICP company? Now they've changed jobs, they fit ICP, they're ready to bring it in. So now you can kind of add a layer to that PLG motion where, yes, they've used it, weren't ready to buy then, we weren't ready to sell to them then. Now they're at enterprise ICP, they've used the product, they're a little bit further along, we can track that job change and surface that in. So some really interesting use cases on that side of things too. One of our customers, Electric, actually uses user gems as a way for late stage close lost op. So being able to say, okay, they weren't ready to buy, let's surface these people when they're at ICP companies and push product updates to them. So that could be done through email, that could be done through paid media, so you can kind of stay in front of them as they move around.
Yeah. You mentioned, you know, using ICPs quite a bit. I'm curious how granular, in terms of best practice, when you see companies taking this type of approach, how granular do they go? How many points within an ICP are you looking to define in general? If someone's thinking about this, but maybe they're not ready for user gems yet, but they're starting to think about it, do you want industry? Do you want headcount? Do you want location? At which point do you feel like you've got a good picture and you can be effective versus like you don't know your customers well enough yet to use something like this? You know what I mean?
We always recommend starting very granular. We want this, like when you're first rolling it out, first implementing, we really want to focus on people that you know are the easiest sell right off the bat. Focus in on those. So yes, industry, headcount, job titles, everything like that. And then you can get a little less granular as you go along. Each one of these segments, you really want to personalize the outreach to them. So you don't want late stage close lost op getting the same messaging as somebody who has bought at an ICP company who's moved to an ICP company. There's a lot of different messaging variations. So starting really, really granular as possible, and then expanding as you go along with the contract. So maybe after year one.
Yeah, that makes sense to me in terms of success, getting outcomes. But also I feel like that's a little tough because if you start narrow and that takes a little bit of time, but you want it to be showing wins. I know you have the ROI guarantee, but how do you handle onboarding? Because I think that probably is the best, but I could also imagine some places being sort of impatient of like, well, we thought this was going to solve all of our problems. Yeah. You know, we haven't 10x revenue yet. Use your gems. You let us down.
We have really, really hands-on approach with onboarding. We want to kind of reduce that friction with how many companies are reducing headcount. People don't have the bandwidth. That's a sticking point in a lot of sales is, okay, well, we don't have the bandwidth to actually launch this. So for us, it was really important for us to hire a really extensive CSM team, really experienced. And then our RevOps team is very involved, either from the sales process all the way through implementation. And typically, too, implementation is a lot lighter than people expect.
All right. Someone's interested. How do they learn more about user gems? How can they follow Isaac if they want to see your pro tips for how you're running paid media and all those other things?
Yeah. Follow me on LinkedIn, Isaac Ware. If you're interested in user gems, we're really heavy on demand gen mindset when it comes to content. So nothing's gated on our site. If you want to check out our playbooks, how our customers are using user gems, things like that, go to the site, browse freely. If you're ready to do a demo request, request that demo. One thing I would recommend as well is actually going in after that demo request, talk to your ADR, talk to your AE about getting a data test. We do head-to-head data tests with any other provider. We show the output. We show you how many people in your CRM have changed jobs, what those percentages look like, how many people we can surface at your target accounts. So you can get a real feel for how effective user gems would be without having to sign up or do a free trial or anything like that. So a really easy way to test efficacy.
That's all for now. You can find show notes at introcrm.com/podcast. The theme music for Pipeline Meeting is by Neighborhood Vandal. If you learned something, consider sharing this show with a friend. Thanks for listening.